depending on the Lord for needed help. I would direct your attention to Psalm 25, reading verses 4, 5, and 6. Psalm 25, verses 4, 5, and 6. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. We might ask the question, who it was that prayed this prayer? Oh, I believe it came out of the heart of the psalmist. David, what period of his life? We are not told. But in the sixth verse we have, in speaking of the Lord's loving kindnesses, they were ever of old, took a well be taken, that is, well on in life, when he prayed this prayer to his God. No, I believe this prayer, my dear friends, is a prayer that suits the dear people of God and is often found in their heart, not only in the beginning, but all through their life. For they're ever coming into those places where they feel to need God to show them the way, to direct them. We might, in the first place, speak of the first praying of this prayer in the hearts of the Lord's people, when it commences, for it's not in their heart in their natural state. It's not in their heart by nature. All we have in our heart by nature is depart from us. We know we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, what a mercy, my friends, we have been delivered from that dreadful state that we are born in, grow up in, would live and die in, were it not for God's goodness and mercy. But he puts forth his almighty power, as he did with David in his tender years, and called him out of that condition. What a separating it was. What a difference there was with David than that spirit that his brothers manifested. Oh, my friend, I say, what a blessing it is if we have been delivered from that state of death in sin and been brought to know and realize a little of what we are by nature, our sinful state. And this is just that which the Holy Spirit, when he regenerates a soul, gives light where there's nothing but darkness, reveals to the soulless condition that sinful state and condition. Oh, what then is created in that heart? Oh, there's shown the way they've been walking, the way of death, the way to hell, all the way to that bottomless pit. How solemn is the condition of all those that have no grace in their heart. For it is a solemn matter, my dear friends, to possess another dying soul, a soul that must live forever. That breath of God he breathed into Adam can never die. But all the wonder of God's grace that he should provide a way whereby poor sinners could be saved, could be delivered from that state of sin. All his own work in a covenant of grace entered into to form the foundation of the world, declared to Adam and Eve in the garden that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Oh, what a salvation is that salvation that God has provided. It's a sure salvation. It's a great salvation. It saves unto the uttermost all poor sinners that come unto God by Jesus Christ. Oh, are you among them? Oh, make sure, my dear friend, that you come unto God by Jesus Christ. There's no other way whereby sinners can come. For Jesus said himself that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nor what a way God has provided for poor sinners. The thought of the Spirit to come unto him, and I will ever come to him. Oh, it is not, my friend, that I may come. Some may come and others may not come. Oh no, it's a sure thing that everyone quickened by the Spirit will be a true comer unto Jesus Christ, as the psalmist was. And I come to him that I might be led and taught of him, showed that way whereby he can be just and yet the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Oh, is it this way you're seeking? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Oh, I say, what a good prayer this is. And oh, it's a prayer that will be answered. Oh, these souls that come with this prayer to the Lord, he will never turn a deaf ear to their petitions. There'll be a receiving of them, and in his own time, an answering of them to the joy and rejoicing of their poor hearts. For I say, the soul quickened by the Spirit will have this prayer, the first prayer that will be found in their heart, the prayer that was found in the apostle's heart. Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord dealt with him on that Damascus road, brought him to the earth with that great light that entered into his heart. Nor what with his prayer then. Oh, it wasn't one that he'd offered many times, doubtless at the corner of the streets or in the synagogue. It was, what wilt thou have me to do. Is that your prayer, my friend? Hello, any here with that prayer in their heart, knowing and feeling what there is in their heart, and their need of deliverance from that dreadful curse of sin, and to know that way of deliverance, that one and only way of deliverance that God has provided. Oh, what a mercy that the Lord does reveal that to his dear people, that way of grace, the way of peace, way of pardon. Have you seen it? Has he revealed it to you? Or is it that way you're ever seeking to be found in? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Oh, one of the ways that God shows his people in the beginning, when they are called by grace, is that salvation is not of works. It is not by anything that they can attain to, in their own power. Oh, how the Holy Spirit in those early days does convince those he leads and teaches of their own helplessness, their own total inability to bring forth anything that can be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. As one of the hymn writer puts it, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more, till late, I heard my Saviour say, come hither, soul, I am the way. Oh, it is just that the Lord teaches his dear people. Those tender years, those days of espousals, or when he draws that one that he has quickened by his Spirit, shows that soul that Christ is the way, the only Saviour, and fills the soul with his love. All those days of espousals of the Lord so attract his dear people, while his love gives them to feel he had loved them with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he has drawn them. But though there is in that heart them that is so blessed, and Jesus is revealed, what does that soul then desire? To know God's ways? To know that way whereby they can love him and serve him, glorify his name. They can no longer walk in the paths of sin, pleasing to the flesh. Oh, my friends, are turning away, are turning our backs upon the old path that we have walked in our unregeneracy. Oh, if there's no change in the walk and in the life of those that may seek to put on a profession, oh, my friends, we may seriously consider whether the work of grace is in their heart. For all the work of grace will separate from the works of the devil and from the evil inclinations of our own sinful heart, that will be a burden to us, a trouble to us, a cause that we shall have continually to look to the Lord and seek deliverance from all that which would turn us aside from Him. Oh, there is this prayer in the heart of one that's filled with the love of Christ. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. So the apostle, as we have mentioned, desired this, that God would lead him. What wilt thou have me to do? Or is this in the hearts of any here? Seeking God's direction, feeling and realizing His love. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to have the love of Christ shed abroad in the heart. That love that knows no beginning nor end. For it is an everlasting love. I love thee with an everlasting love. Oh, there may be some here fearing because I cannot feel that love as I have. Maybe many years have passed away since I were favored. But the Lord's rich blessing is love shed abroad in their heart. No, the devil tempts them to believe that it was never real. If it had been God's work, they would not be in the place they feel to be in. But the Lord has said, but I'll see you again. Though there are those periods when He withholds His blessing, it may be through our sin, but oh, He will come again, my dear friend. I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice. Your joy no man taketh from you. Oh, I say, is there one here with this desire? Show me thy ways, O Lord. What does the Lord say to His dear people that He so blesses and favors? If ye love me, keep my commandments. The Lord Jesus, in sending forth the dear apostles to preach the gospel, empowering them as He did. Oh, He commanded them to teach that they that the power of God is bringing them out of our state and condition by nature. And they should be baptized. They should baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How the apostles followed out the commands of their dear Lord and Master. That was so in the case of the eunuch. That one that Philip was sent to meet him in that desert place as he journeyed, to teach him that which his soul was longing for his reading about Christ and his sufferings in his chariot. He asked the question, was it concerning the prophet? Who was it the prophet was speaking of? Oh, then dear Philip preached unto him Jesus. Oh, what an opening there was for dear Philip to open his mouth and to preach unto him Jesus. What effect it had. Oh, I believe that dear eunuch's heart was filled with the love of Christ. Has yours ever been so, my friend, in hearing the precious gospel preached, has had effect on you, has softened your heart, has drawn out your love to Him? And if that has been so, is not this question, this desire in your heart gone out to the Lord? He would show you. Show me thy ways. You eunuch, after receiving the Lord's blessing, and dear Philip, he must have declared unto him what the Lord had told the dear apostles to do, in that they should be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when they came to water, how wonderful that they should come to such water in the desert. Oh, we can but believe that God made provision, as He can, as He calls that river to follow the Israelites through the desert, supplying them continually with that tremendous amount of water that they needed. Oh, there's no place the Lord's people come into but what He can make provision. Nor, I believe, He made provision in that desert place for that eunuch that had been brought to believe and to love the Lord Jesus Christ, to be baptized, to follow the command of the Lord Jesus given to His apostles and to His people through all ages. That age, my friends, has not passed away. What Christ declared when He was here on earth stands as good today. Oh, some may look upon baptism today as a thing they might attend to, or they may not. Oh, I don't believe that's the right attitude. But Christ commanded it. And all what He has spoken, we should seek rightly to attend to, and to follow Him, how to love to Him. And so when they came to water, the eunuch said, "See here, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" For he's seeking to be shown that way. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." One condition laid down: believing with all the heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the only Savior. My friends, are you there? Can you say, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief"? For if that is so, the Lord has blessed you. Are you not dishonoring the dear Lord and Savior that has done so much for you in not following Him in His way? It is laid down for His people to walk in. Oh, look to that scene of the dear Redeemer, the glorious God-man, went to John. Desired him to be baptized. He would baptize him. John at first refused. we felt the need of being baptized by the Lord in order that he, a poor sinful man, should baptize the Lord and Master. And what did Christ say to him? Suffer it to be so now, for so it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So he suffered him. What a scene was there. The Father's voice from heaven declaring he was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit descending from heaven in the form of a dove and resting upon him. Oh, how clearly is that precious ordinance set before us in the Word of God. Other cases we might think of, but I didn't lay it aside. Even in the prison at Philippi, oh, that night when our poor jailer, his heart was rent to that earthquake that rent the prison. Poor God used him. What a change was wrought in that poor man. What a deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. My friend, what a deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. It is for a poor soul be plucked as a brand from a burning. Oh, everyone, you see, have got to come to stand before God in that judgment day. And apart from faith in Jesus Christ, we shall hear that solemn word, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, and then to think that the dear Lord should show such mercy, such love to such poor sinners as we. Oh, how he deserves everything we can do to show forth his praise. So that poor jailer come to the apostles, not to beat them, not to do them injury, but to inquire of them what he should do to be saved. Oh, what a question. What an answer. The most important question we can ever ask. Oh, are there those here asking that question? What must I do to be saved? Was the question he asked the apostles. What an answer. The one and only answer. Needed none other. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Oh, what a precious promise for the salvation of his house also. And under the preaching of the apostles, they too were wrought upon. The whole house was converted. Oh, what a season. Oh, how many here would desire also they might see their whole house converted, brought out of darkness, brought to Christ. What power was put forth there. But the dear apostles didn't leave it there, did they? They baptized them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That didn't say any effect. Well, we can't carry out baptism here. I did it. Oh, my friend, how Satan will seek to turn the heart of those that love Christ from following him in the ordinance of baptism, out of love to him. So it was with Cornelius. Oh, how the Lord had wrought in the heart of that woman, the centurion. He had blessed him. He had brought him to pray unto him, to serve him in his house. But there was more he needed to know. And the angel spake to him, told him to send for Peter. He would instruct him. God prepared Peter to go. Poor Peter would doubtless have refused had not God showed to Peter that vision. And he was called nothing unclean or common which God had cleansed, showing Peter that God had a purpose of salvation for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. Peter went with those that come to tell him of Cornelius. Nor how Peter was enabled to preach the gospel to those Gentiles. The one and only gospel. I hope the only gospel we desire to preach, though we may come so short in preaching it, I hope there is that in our poor heart that desires to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For there's no other Savior. There is a great Savior, almighty Savior, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. The Cornelius and his house received the blessing. The Holy Ghost fell upon them all. Oh, how wonderful. Not one left out. And what did Peter say to those that had come with him? Who can forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we have received the Holy Ghost that were baptized? For I dwelt more on this than I intended to. But all my friends, the important matter is not a matter we should lay aside. And the Lord does own and bless his dear people in walking in his ways. He did that eunuch, for he went on his way rejoicing. And so have many of the Lord's dear people in walking in this way. Not that there's any merit in it. No, not at all. But always honoring, glorifying to the Lord his people. Should honor him in following him in that path he has laid down for them to walk in. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. And this is also, sir, with the dear people, this prayer, I believe, is often in their heart and with churches. Oh, doubtless this prayer has been much for you, dear friends, in the exercise that have been upon you concerning a pastor. Oh, show us now thy way. Direct us in thy path. So it is in providence with the Lord's people when we're in a right state and condition of heart and mind. Is it not with us that we want to be directed, guided, clearly shown the way God will have us to walk in providence whether the power that we are seeking will be that we shall be honoring and glorifying to him. Oh, how often this prayer then is in the heart of every dear child of God in this wilderness journey, to be shown, to be guided, to be kept in that right way. Oh, it may sometimes be, my friends, you had to wait a long season before the Lord is pleased to confirm what that way is. And oft God's ways seem vastly different to our ways. No, I believe where there is a committing of the way to God and a desire in the heart that His will alone may be done, and a falling into his hand, the saying, not my will, Lord, but thine be done. Show me thy way. For I believe the Lord will uphold and keep such from going in a wrong way, or being left to their own, to satisfy their own heart and their nature. Oh, how good the Lord is in upholding and preserving his people from turning away from him. Uphold my goings in thy paths, my footsteps slip not. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Oh, how we feel to need this. How each one of us need it. Revealing of the precious truth as it is in Jesus. God's holy word. How we need the Holy Spirit to take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us, that we may know him, we may love him and serve him. But oh, he's promised to do this. He promised to his disciples before he left them, he would give them another comforter that would abide with them forever, even the Spirit of truth. He should take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto him. Oh, then, how we need to pray this prayer in every path and walk of our lives. Oh, how soon we can turn aside. You might mention David when he turned aside. For that time he was not praying this prayer. When the Lord had wonderfully delivered him from Saul. And Saul had been put in David's hand, he could have killed him. But he could not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. And David spoke to him after that night. Declared that he had taken his spear from his bolster, the cruse of oil, or water, I believe. And then there seemed to be a coming together, didn't there? Saul promised he would not chase him again, wouldn't seek to kill him again. But old David could not trust Saul. And he said immediately after, he said, I shall fall one day at the hand of Saul. Nothing better for me than to go into the land of the Philistine. He seek me no more. So he went to Achish. Remained there for 16 months. We don't read dear David calling upon God there until he was forced to that place when Ziklag had been burned, all his dear ones taken, then David again had to turn to his God, encouraged himself in the Lord his God. His God never forsook him. He appeared for him again. Oh, I felt, my dear friend, what an I David felt when of that battle that he was so eager to join in with those Philistines against the Israelites and against Saul and Jonathan. Oh, I'm sure David had to bless and praise his God for the Lord delivering him from that being engaged in that battle. How wonderful did God deliver him. And all God's wonderful works are still realized by his dear people in our times of need. For it's usually in the deep waters the Lord's dear people prove their Lord and Master, his goodness and mercy to them, his loving kindness is, as the dear David here says, remember, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. All that had been to David all through his life. Nor do not we have to say the same. God's goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of our life. And dear psalmist, the 23rd psalm declared it. He said, he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a blessed prospect for the Lord's dear people. They will dwell with him forever. Those he has led and taught and preserved and kept in the wilderness, shielded them in times of danger, preserved them from turning to the right hand or to the left. He will bring them to be with him forever. Here I'd leave a few remarks. May the Lord bless his word and forgive all amiss. Amen.
This morning by singing hymn number 641. The tune is Corinth 641. Jesus, mighty God and Saviour, lead me forth by thy right hand, and be it my fixed endeavour to obey thy sweet command. Let me never at a trifling distance stand. 641.